Well, today we're going to continue our sermon series, Who Said It? So, who said, I have betrayed innocent blood? Was it Peter? Or was it the centurion at the foot of the cross of Jesus? Or was it Judas Iscariot? The answer is, well, let's just go ahead and take a look. Go ahead and turn on over to Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to read a sizable portion of text, but to get things into context, the context of our passage is that it's early the next morning after the late night arrest of Jesus and his pseudo-trial before Caiaphas. And so we read, starting in verse 1, that early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then what was spoken about by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field as the Lord commanded me. So, who said it? Yeah, Judas Iscariot. Now, in looking back as far as we can in the New Testament, we know nothing about Judas prior to his call by Jesus. But for him to have been called as an apostle implies that he was already a disciple. And to be honest, we're not sure how that happened. It might be that he was drawn to Jesus like the other 11 by the preaching of John the Baptist. Then again, maybe he wasn't a disciple of John. Maybe he was a disciple of Jesus before becoming an apostle. Again, the truth is, we just don't know for sure. But Judas probably became an apostle about the same time as the others along the Sea of Galilee. Now, I think that it's important for us to remember that Judas wasn't called the betrayer when he first was called by Jesus. That name was given to him after he betrayed Jesus. It wasn't like, "Hey, you know, Judas, the betrayer, come over here." No, Judas was selected just like the other 11, and there was apparently no objection to his selection, which tells us that he had, you know, a fairly decent reputation among the people. Still, since we know that Judas ended up betraying Jesus, we ask ourselves, well, why did Jesus pick Judas Iscariot when we know that Jesus is able to read the hearts of people? Well, clearly, Judas had talents and gifts on the same level as the other 11. Plus, he had his own special set of skills. After all, he was the group's treasurer. Plus, when he was called by Jesus, no one objected or was surprised by his calling. And that's because Judas was considered by the others to be just like them. Judas was just like you and me. Think about it. You know, you go back in biblical history. Cain and Abel, just like you and me, but Cain killed Abel. David, just like you and me, but David committed adultery. And then there's Peter, just like you and me, but Peter denied Jesus. And I have to wonder, you know, does anyone who really tries to follow God really set out to sin against God? Well, I don't think so. Not if you're trying to follow him. And so, you know, when we think about it in our situation, we think, well, I would never do such a thing. I would never betray Jesus. Still, we lie and we hate and we do things contrary to what God wants us to do. We sin. And Judas sinned. Judas betrayed innocent blood. But why? Why did a disciple of Jesus, why did an apostle of Jesus betray the Messiah of God? Was it because Judas had unmet expectations? What I mean by that is, you know, some people think that before Judas became a disciple of Jesus, that he wanted to free his people from the Romans and, you know, get out from under their oppression, make Israel a great country again. The idea being that Judas was a zealot, and the zealots were a political group committed to the restoration of Israel through the overthrow of the Romans. You know, get an army up together and just, you know, defeat the Romans, kick them out, and make Israel a great nation again, like under King David. And so if Judas was in fact a zealot, then that might have been the motivation for Judas to sell Jesus out. But why? You know, well, you know, because he did, in fact, believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Think about it again. You know, he believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Christ, but not in the way that he was supposed to. Judas believed that Jesus was a Messiah like David, a king like David, a Messiah who would come in and rally the Israelites together and go to war against Rome and regain control of Jerusalem. But Jesus wasn't that kind of Messiah. And when Judas realized that, he either turned on Jesus in disgust or in the hopes that when he was backed into a corner, that Jesus would come out swinging. But again, we don't know if that's true. But if it was, then it highlights the fact that Judas had certain expectations of Jesus. And when we realize that Jesus, when he realized that Jesus wasn't like that, then he took matters into his own hands. And we all know how that turned out for him. Not so good. That's okay. But think about it. When Jesus doesn't meet your expectations, do you take matters into your own hands? You have to kind of think, well, how's that working out for you? You know? Having unmet or unrealistic expectations of Jesus eventually leads us to betraying Jesus. So, the logic would follow that if we don't want to be like Judas, when Jesus doesn't meet our expectations, all we've got to do then is to change our expectations to meet Jesus. Of course, maybe it wasn't about expectations. Maybe it was about greed. For example, over in John chapter 12 and verses 3 through 6, we're told that Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, the scripture says. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, you know. And the house was filled with fragrance, with the fragrance of her perfume, with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, and guess which one? Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. Sounds like he was really concerned, right? But John tells us what he was really thinking and why he really said that. Inspired of the Spirit, John writes there in verse 6, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. It seems to me that Judas had a problem understanding love. And here's what I mean. He loved money more than people. He loved money more than God. And in looking at our text, Judas, you know, he doesn't care about the poor here. He only cared about a missed opportunity to steal some money. Judas had a greedy heart. And in context, it was right after this that Judas goes off to make the deal to hand Jesus over for a price. The sad thing is that Judas must have been trusted at some point because he was made their treasurer. You just don't go select anybody off the street and say, hey, you come, you hold the money, you know. Judas must have had been trusted by the others, been trusted by Jesus. But somewhere along the line, he gave in to the temptation to skim from the offering bag. And now his greed has come to the point of selling Jesus out to the people who want to kill him. Take a look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verses 14 through 16. We read that then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Just think about the difference between how much Mary valued Jesus with her pricey devotion, an expensive perfume worth so much in comparison to Judas. Judas was willing to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. That's the price paid for a slave. That's all Jesus was worth to Judas. That's what greed produces. Money and things become more valuable than people, more valuable than Jesus. We need to be careful. We all need to be careful that we don't let things like pride or selfishness or greed lead us to betraying Jesus. Still, Judas betrayed innocent blood. You'll remember that at the Last Supper that Jesus shared with the apostles, that he said that one of his disciples would betray him. Now, if you're still there in Matthew chapter 26, take a look down at verses 20 through 25. There we're told that when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, surely not I, Lord. Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely not I, Rabbi. Jesus answered, yes, it is you. You think, well, what's all this got to do with the bread dipping in and stuff? And what's happening here? Well, you see, in the ancient Middle East, the host of the banquet customarily took a piece of bread, dipped it, and handed it to the guest of honor. And so when Jesus did this with Judas, some people think that Jesus did that as a last gesture of love toward Judas. That said, I've just got to wonder what kind of emotions Judas was feeling at that time. I mean, Jesus had done nothing wrong to Judas. Jesus only loved Judas. You know, earlier, for example, before the supper, Jesus washed all the disciples' feet, including Judas's. And so when Jesus handed the bread to Judas, you gotta wonder, did their eyes meet just for a moment? Did Judas look intently into our Lord's eyes? Or did he turn away? Was Judas sad or angry or anxious? Was he afraid? What about what Jesus said to the disciples there in verse 24? Woe! Woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. If I'm Judas right now, I'm shaking. My knees are knocking. I've got a lump in my throat. I'm as white as a ghost. You know, I'm getting all clammy. I don't know. Maybe that's what he felt there in verse 25 when he says, "Surely not I, Rabbi." And I've got to ask myself, did Judas really not know? Maybe Judas didn't think that what he was doing was a betrayal, you know? And sometimes we think that way about the sins that we rationalize away too. Over in John's account in chapter 13 and verse 27, we're told that as soon as Judas took bread, Satan entered into him. And when I read that, that just gives me chills. Satan entered into him. That's scary. And then in Luke's account, Luke records for us that it was after Satan entered Judas that Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. And then back in John 13, verse 30 concludes the event by telling us, and it was night. Think about it. Things done in secret. Things done in the dark. Happen at night. Sinful things are easier to do when fewer people can see them in the dark. And so Judas went out both literally and figuratively, spiritually speaking, into darkness. Still, while many couldn't see Judas' deception, God did. God always sees. God always knows. Later in Luke chapter 22 and verses 47 and 48, while Jesus was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" And so Judas comes along leading the soldiers, chief priests and Pharisees to Jesus and turned a symbol of greeting, of intimacy, of affection into an instrument of betrayal. Again, I just have to wonder, you know, did Judas look into Jesus' eyes when he went to kiss him? Or did he look away in shame? Either way, there's no doubt about what's going on to the others. Judas is now exposed for who he really is, the betrayer. The thing is, we all have a choice. And if we ever find ourselves moving toward betrayal, if we ever are trying to follow Jesus like we should, and you know, if we're walking in the light as he is in the light, then choose to stay on the path. Choose to stay in the light with Jesus. Choose to keep following him. Because the other choice is to betray Jesus. Judas chose to betray Jesus. Judas betrayed innocent blood. Take a look back at our main text in Matthew chapter 27. Again, back in verse 3, we read, "When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. 'I have sinned,' he said, 'for I have betrayed innocent blood.' 'What's that to us?' they replied. 'That's your responsibility.' So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself." It was one of those "what have I done" moments. You know, what have I done? What have I done? Judas must have been thinking. You know, clearly Judas regretted his choice to betray Jesus. So in remorse, he confesses, "I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood." And I've just got to wonder what Judas thought Jesus was guilty of. Was he guilty of loving people? Of healing people? Of helping people? Of being kind? I don't know. Or did Judas believe all the things that all the religious leaders were accusing him of? Either way, if Judas were truly repentant, things would have ended differently. Just think about what Peter did in denying Jesus three times. When that happened, Luke chapter 22 and verse 62 says that Peter went outside and wept bitterly. Peter had godly sorrow, but Judas didn't. Sure, Judas was remorseful, and he realized that what he had done was a sin, but it didn't transfer into repentance that leads to life. Instead, it transferred into guilt and shame that led to his death. Peter, on the other hand, chose to repent of his sins and seek God's forgiveness and life. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 says it this way: godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Think about it. The world is filled with remorseful people, people who are sorry that they got caught, but not necessarily sorry for what they did. They're sorry for the consequences of their actions, but not for the actions themselves. They may even, you know, be sorry for what they did, but not enough to change. Think about it. Peter's sorrow was because it hurt his relationship with Jesus. But Judas' sorrow was because he realized that he messed up. And since he couldn't handle the guilt of what he had done and the fear of the possible consequences, Judas dealt with those feelings the wrong way. While Peter repented and Jesus forgave him. Think about it again. How often have we personally done wrong, and instead of us reacting the right way and choosing to make the effort to change ourselves, that instead we end up seized with guilt and end up going deeper in sin? There are consequences to our actions, but we have a choice. We have a choice. We can be like Judas, adding a wrong reaction to a wrong choice, or we can repent like Peter did and live. Judas betrayed innocent blood. Now, while we've been looking at things from Judas' perspective this morning as the betrayer, I thought it'd be good for us to spend just a few minutes talking about what it's like from the other side of the perspective, from the perspective of the betrayed, and how to deal with betrayal. The first way is to take it to the Lord. Think about Jesus. He was betrayed by one of his apostles, by someone very close to him, by someone that he handpicked. But sadly, that's just the way it is. That's the way it works, you know. The one who betrays us is someone that we trust. And, you know, because if we didn't trust them, and then it wouldn't be betrayal, right? And that's because we don't expect it from those who are close to us. So how do we deal with it? Well, Jesus taught his disciples to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And so, if you're ever betrayed, take it to the Lord in prayer and leave the matter at his throne and let him deal with it. Let God deal with it. The second way to deal with betrayal is to handle it like Jesus. And how did Jesus handle it? In faith and love. Jesus didn't depend on valuation from others. Jesus' value comes from God, and his faith was in God alone. And so he was going to stay true to the Father's will, even if everyone else deserted him, which, by the way, they did after his arrest, you'll remember. They all scattered. So how do we deal with it? Well, like Jesus. Think about it again. Jesus was putting into practice that love your enemy command he gave, right? He was putting into practice the bless those who persecute you command that he gave everyone. He was even going beyond love your enemy. He was loving the friend who would become his enemy. And so if we're going to be able to overcome the pain of betrayal, then we need to handle it like Jesus did in love. And the third way to deal with betrayal is to not seek revenge. Don't seek revenge. Again, think about it. Our natural tendency might be to seek revenge and to hurt someone worse. You know, you did something to me, I'm going to get back at you the same way, if not more. Now, you cut me off, I'm going to speed up and I'm going to cut you off, all right? But instead, we need to forgive. We need to forgive them. Just remember again what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 14 and 15 when he says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That tells us that forgiveness is vital. It's vital to a healthy relationship with one another, and it's vital with our relationship with the Lord. Plus, when we can forgive our betrayer, then we personally are able to move forward in our lives. But that doesn't mean that things automatically go back to the way they were. You don't just instantly become pals again, you know? Damage to our relationship with whoever betrayed us has been done. It might even change the course of our relationship with others. It might even end it. But even so, I don't have to hold on to those hurt feelings and emotional pain caused by that betrayal. It is possible to get past it by not seeking revenge and actually forgiving the person. Judas betrayed innocent blood. Judas betrayed Jesus. Sometimes people might betray us. But remember to take it to the Lord. Handle it like Jesus. Don't take revenge. Instead, pray about it. Love your enemy and forgive them. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied Jesus. They both sinned, but only one of them was truly forgiven. The one who truly repented and turned back to Jesus. And today, if you have betrayed Jesus with your sins, know that you too can be forgiven by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon your trust in him, turn to him in repentance, confessing him as Lord and Savior, and then committing yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then, rising up out of the water, continue to live your life for him until Jesus comes back again or you go to be with him. And for those of us who are already Christians, if you've ever been betrayed, remember to pray about it, to love your enemy and forgive them. Again, if anyone has the need to come forward this morning to share, seek prayer, or to become a Christian for the very first time, then as always, you're encouraged to come forward now, as together we all stand and sing the song that has been selected.